This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Right now, we are joined by ACC Insider from ESPN, Andrea Adelson. Andrea, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. I'm great. How are you guys?
We can't complain. It's late October. We're starting to get a little bit more information about what this ACC season is going to look like. We kind of let off in regards to some of the headlines, and one of the things that jumped out at us was that some teams that really had big weekends were kind of flat. Pitt, Florida State, NC State, Virginia Tech, even I think the best team in the country, Clemson, didn't play up to their standard by which we kind of expected. Again, we're late October. It's been a grind for a lot of these guys, but some of these teams desperately needed a win and just didn't live up to any kind of competitive billing heading into the weekend.
You know, Pac, it's interesting. One quote in particular stood out to me from over the weekend, and it was from Miami coach Manny Diaz, where he basically said that most of us have no idea what it's like for these teams to get through an entire week to play a game on Saturday in terms of the testing, when they've got positives and when they've got a quarantine, when they've got a contact trace. I don't think any of us are going to truly understand the scope of that until the entire season is over, when these coaches and players are going to feel more free to talk about that. But there is no question now that what has happened through this point in the season has been a heroic effort to get these teams onto the field and play. And I do think that has taken a mental toll on a lot of teams and a lot of players, because they are being asked to do things that they have never been asked to do before, in terms of obviously the mask wearing, the social distancing, stay in your apartment, don't see people, don't see your family, no fans in the stands. It has been an absolute drain. And so when you look at the performances from the weekend, I'm not gonna sit here and blame it on that, but I do think that we all have to appreciate and understand the unique circumstances that all of these players are going through, and that it has taken a toll on them, that it's difficult every week to sit there and get up for games when you're being tested three times a week, when maybe your roommate might be in quarantine or contact trace or any of these things that are happening to all of these teams in the ACC. So I really appreciated Manny Diaz coming out after their game, in which also Miami kind of looked uninspired in that win over Virginia, to basically say, hey, look, it's not all roses and daisies behind the scenes. It has been a really difficult slog to this point in the season.
And to the degree of that concept, Andrea, I'm gonna throw Notre Dame in there as well, because Notre Dame, I mean, there was a shot at some point, I think, on game day the other day of where Notre Dame was in their like pregame meal, which had tables with single chairs and just numbers, which I'm indicating, I guess, was the player's number that day, his jersey number, and that's where that particular player was going to sit. And so they were separating the dining room, or the pregame meal, if you will, so to keep quarterbacks away from quarterbacks and so on and so forth. Yet here's Notre Dame coming off, you know, this balky look, and Pittsburgh, who's having a hard time getting any kind of offensive continuity, certainly with Kenny Pickett. Defensively, they seem to have run out of gas a little bit. And yet the Irish have built the momentum now. They look like they're a team that's ready for the second half of the season.
Notre Dame absolutely needed a game like that and a performance like that. And after the game, Brian Kelly was honest and said, all right, yeah, we're looking ahead a little bit. You know, most coaches don't ever admit that. We're taking it game by game. The focus was on Pitt. But Notre Dame's peeking ahead 2 weeks to who they're playing at home November 7th in Clemson. And if they want to measure up against the number one team in the country, if they want to have any shot at making the playoff, potentially playing for a national championship, they have to be better than Clemson. And so the first couple of weeks of the season, we've all been scratching our heads about Notre Dame. They obviously didn't play opponents that were on the same level as them. Maybe they played down. They obviously needed to integrate an entire new receiving core, freshman obviously at running back, secondary besides Kyle Hamilton, which had some huge question marks. And now they've gotten to the point where we've seen the growth in the key areas where we needed to see it. And that growth had to happen for them to be able to be at least on the same level as where Clemson is. So I appreciated Brian Kelly coming out and saying that, because their season potentially could all come down to what happens against Clemson on November 7th. Now, obviously, no matter what happens in that game, there's the potential for a rematch in the ACC championship game. But I think all of us are eager to see how Notre Dame is going to stack up and match up against where Clemson is, because right now they look like they're one of the better teams in the country. But, you know, Pitt is struggling. And so we're not really going to know until what happens when they play against Clemson. But I do think that performance is going to give them a huge shot of confidence now as we move forward and get ready for that huge game.
You know, when we talk about Notre Dame, we talk about that great offensive line, the stable backs, the experience with Ian Book. But you know what's been understated is how well they've played defensively. Adrian, you know, the other thing you want to break down with them, you look at their schedule and you go, well, wait a minute. You know, they've only played A, B, C, D, and E. Hey, you play who's on the schedule. And Andrew, when you look at their numbers defensively, they have shut down everybody. I mean, they have really played well. And again, we always talk about that offensive line and are they going to throw the ball downfield and all that kind of stuff. But I've really been impressed with how good and how consistent they've been on that defensive side.
No question about that, Pack, and I really like the way specifically the secondary has come together. I think we all knew they had some pieces up front in the linebacker group, but now they feel like a complete defense. And what they were able to do against Pitt, I know Pitt has been struggling. We've talked about that a lot. But the fact that they were able to completely shut down anything Pitt wanted to do, I think we're not talking about that enough. You know, Pitt, yeah, they haven't been able to run the ball. They obviously had a struggling quarterback, but against Miami, Pitt was able to make some plays. They were in that game well into the fourth quarter, but they were absolutely not in this game at all against Notre Dame. And that speaks volumes to where the Irish are as a defense. And so again, that's why when you look ahead, I know we got games this weekend, but when you look ahead to that matchup against Clemson, maybe some of the things that Syracuse was able to do this past weekend, I'm sure Notre Dame is furiously taking notes and looking at what happened in that game in order to be able to put together the best game plan possible, specifically when it comes to that Clemson run game. You know, Notre Dame has been so good against the run. Clemson was not on their game with the run game last week against Syracuse. And so if Notre Dame can take that part of it away, when you look at Clemson still trying to find, all right, who's our guy on the outside who's going to make some big explosive plays in the passing game, that's still a big question mark for Clemson. So if I'm Notre Dame and I'm looking at, all right, if Clemson is actually struggling to run the football, do we want to put the game in Trevor Lawrence's hands, right? It's one of those either-or situations. But I think Notre Dame, at least right now, from what we've seen, they've got that ability to both shut down the run and shut down the pass. That's why this matchup is going to be so intriguing in a few weeks.
All right, now wait a second. Before we start talking about the Clemson run game, do we need to talk about the pregame meal the Tigers are having for the running back?
I thought that Frosted Flakes and Tony the Tiger was probably like a good omen for Travis Etienne, right? It's the Tiger. I mean, it should give him some energy. But, Travis Etienne, said he just had a bowl of cereal, and we saw him coming in and out of the game against Syracuse and cramping up. But I do think that the Clemson offensive line in particular is just one group to keep an eye on. Dabo Swinney got a lot of questions about that unit after the game because they weren't as successful as I think they're used to being. And I don't want to say it's because Travis was in and out of the game. Lynn J. Dixon has obviously been a terrific back for them. But, you know, Trevor Lawrence admitted after the game that there might have been some RPOs where they should have run the ball instead of passed the ball. So I'm sure they're going to be looking at that during film study, film review, as they get prepared for Boston College this weekend.
Andrea, if Notre Dame wasn't the most impressive ACC team over the weekend in terms of their performance, it has to be North Carolina. I thought that was a 1-1A performance from both of those teams. Offensively, 34 first downs, 2-1 time of possession, 578 total yards. You want to run? No problem. Got two great backs. You want to throw? Hey, no problem. I got guys all over the place. North Carolina looked awfully good, and that's against an NC State defense that, again, you know had to be sky high. It's a rivalry game. They didn't have, NC State didn't want to tackle anybody. And I thought North Carolina really looked the part Saturday.
They really did. And we'd all been waiting for a performance like that from North Carolina, complete performance from start to finish. We'd seen that in spurts. We saw a little of that against Virginia Tech, but you know, the defense wasn't quite to par in that game. But now this was a complete performance, both offensively and defensively, to be able to shut down everything that NC State was trying to do. And again, I know they were doing the quarterback shuffle. This is a different team without Devin Leary, but North Carolina defensively was able to shut down the run game. And that had provided a bit of a spark for NC State during the early part of this season. And then offensively, I don't think we're talking enough about the job that Javonte Williams and Michael Carter have done in the backfield. And guys, as I was sitting there and looking at the running backs in this league, we're going to have a mid-season all-ACC team here either today or tomorrow. How do you choose between Michael Carter, Javonte Williams, Khalil Herbert, Travis Etienne for two spots? And I do think that is a huge credit to what North Carolina has been able to do running the ball. And everyone put all that focus in the preseason to Sam Howell and those receivers, but that run game has been absolutely dynamite. And we saw that again against NC State. You know, the biggest reason to me they were able to dominate is because of what they did on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And so you look at North Carolina's schedule, and I had this conversation with my dad last night, who's a big Miami fan, and he's already looking ahead. All right, what's going to happen? What does this look like? How about North Carolina? And that schedule for North Carolina kind of plays into their hands until they get to Notre Dame in a couple weeks. Now, I know Wake Forest fans are probably saying, hey, you know, what about us? But if you look at the road ahead for North Carolina, if they're able to continue to do what they are doing come November, this is a team that is going to be in that conversation for the ACC championship game.
Andrea, I want to follow up real quick on the running back situation here in the last couple minutes we've got left, because if you don't have a combination of backs, you're probably in trouble. I mean, we talk about Christian Beale Smith, Kenneth Walker at Wake Forest, the three guys at NC State. Let me just give you two examples here. Virginia and Pittsburgh are struggling to run the ball. Virginia's used a combination of people, Shane Simpson, Wayne Talapapa. Pittsburgh's tried to use both Davises to get it going. Just hasn't happened. Notre Dame's even using Sebo Flemister and Kyron Williams. The college game is morphed into two or more is the best route to go, it seems like. Now, Clemson has Etienne and Lynn J. Dixon. Now, they're trying to get some others, it looks like, ready, whether it's Ches Malusi, Darian Rencher, whatever the case may be. But you've got to have a couple of these guys if you're going to be long-term successful, it looks like.
And that's kind of mirrored what's happened in the NFL as well. But there's no question when you look at that combination that North Carolina has, that has to be the best combination in the entire country. And when you're able to run the ball like that, I feel like the offensive line has progressed now for North Carolina, maybe a little bit shaky at the beginning of the season. They were missing some key players. Now everybody's back, and you're starting to see that offensive line impose their will. So when you have that type of 1-2 duo with the offensive line, with the quarterback who can make some plays, to a supremely talented receiver group, now's the time we're starting to see North Carolina potentially hit on all cylinders. And again, you know, you scratch your head, if it wasn't for that first half against Florida State, where would North Carolina be? But sometimes those are the growing pains that teams need in order to be able to see the type of growth that we are seeing now from North Carolina. But, you know, you're absolutely right. That combination, I think, is going to be so critical, especially as we move forward into the season and teams start to wear down a little bit, you know, maybe get a little bit tired. You know, it's been a long grind, a long season already up until this point. If you're North Carolina, you have to be feeling really good about what those two guys bring to the table. Different backs, different styles, but both effective in what they are doing right now. And when that balance is there, it makes you really difficult to stop.
Andrew, we do our accounting. I know you guys do the power rankings too. And for folks at home that try to do this, I think the top four in the league today, when we have this conversation, whatever order you want to put them in, Clemson, Notre Dame, North Carolina, Miami, are the four. Who is five right now today? Who would be number five?
Okay, I'm going to try to imitate the guy on the Jordan doc who was so great.
That is unacceptable.
No.
Okay, so no. David Hale and I, who covers the ACC for ESPN.com with me, had a 24-hour text conversation about who we should rank five this week. It wasn't just, all right, this is it, and let's do it. It was a back and forth. All right, do we go with Wake Forest? Do we go with Boston College? Do we discount what happened to Virginia Tech this weekend and keep them at number five? Or NC State, right? So my view of the power rankings is different from David Hale's view. David Hale likes to take a holistic approach to how have teams looked throughout the course of the season. I also do that, but I am giving extra weight to what we just saw. It's the power of this past weekend that gives us the power ranking. So this week we've got Boston College 5, but it was very close with Wake Forest. You know, I was pushing hard for Wake Forest at number 5 because they just knocked off a ranked team for the first time since 2018. And when you look at how Wake Forest has gotten to this point from the beginning of the season, defensively could not stop NC State. And on Saturday, they shut down Khalil Herbert in that Virginia Tech running game. The best performance against Virginia Tech in that run game all season long. I think it speaks volumes to the changes that Wake Forest has made defensively in order to get better against the run. So for me, it was between those two teams, and I had to discount Virginia Tech this week because they played a really poor game on Saturday, and I feel like they had to drop because of that.
Fair enough.
All right, so that leaves Packer and Durham the ability this week to not only scrutinize the power rankings of Andre Adelson and David Hale, but also to scrutinize the midseason All-ACC team that'll be announced later this week, too, online at ESPN.com. Yeah, I like
that. Go for it, guys, because David Hale and I disagree on who the ACC midseason coach of the year is, so I'd love your take on that when they come out.
Well, wait, let's not leave. So what was your answer on that one? I
went with Jeff Hafley at Boston College. I did not have Boston College 4-2 at this point of the season. And I just think the strides they have made across the board, specifically offensively, they've got a real passing game now. They've got a quarterback for the first time in a really long time. And now we saw the development of that run game last week against Georgia Tech. To me, this is a team that is getting better, finding their footing, trying to find more balance. And so it's Jeff Hafley for me at Boston College at the midseason point.
I agree with you.
All right. Great stuff, Andrea. Thank you as always. Appreciate your time on a Monday. And we'll look forward to all the stuff available at ESPN.com from Andrea Adelson and David Hale coming up here in the next day or two. Have a great week. And when we come back on this Monday edition of Packer and Durham, we get to the best and worst of the weekend. And I promise you, Nick Anderson's three picks headline the best of the weekend. Amazing performance by the Wake Forest defensive back. Oh, Ben Skoranek, you two are there. Travis Etienne, sure. Frosted Flakes included, back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. ACC Network, 844-SAY-ACCN. Wes, it's time for best of and worst of the weekend. And as normally the case, there's a number on both sides here that we could probably do a three-hour show on both of these, but we will start half-fill, right? I like to start on a positive note. And we kind of gave you some highlights from earlier, but did Nick Anderson have a pretty good day for Wake Forest Saturday? Holy mackerel. Walk-on freshman? Are you kidding me? He had a career Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, he had three interceptions. I mean, the thing you have to remember, and you know, this is not the first time we've talked about this during the game, or during the show, rather. When you have a game like this, you have to remember how rare an interception is in a game for a player and then remember how rare two interceptions is in a game, to then think, oh, wait a second, he had three? I saw Dre Bly in 1996 get three interceptions against Joe Hamilton. Georgia Tech played in Chapel Hill. And I was thinking about this yesterday. The only other time I can remember somebody having three interceptions in a game not named Dre Bly is Nick Anderson. Now, I'm sure it's happened, but I don't think I've been involved or even thinking about a game where a guy had three interceptions. It's a little bit like, you know, the rarity in sports. One interception's fine. Two, yeah, that happens, not often. Three, Pac, you know this, it never happens. So for him to have three and be a walk-on and they win the game, it's a great story. For him individually, it's as good a story for Wake football, I'm sure.
And again, what gets overshadowed, he had 11 tackles on top of it. I mean, he had one of those days where you go, man, why can't every day be like this? He was spectacular, and the Deeks were too. I mean, just a great win for Dave Clawson. And again, as you mentioned, Dave will join us tomorrow on the program to talk about Wake's big win.
Yeah. Let's go to Pittsburgh. And I think this was on your list, Notre Dame's offensive line, Pac. We've been talking about these guys since August.
Well, we talked about the matchup going into the game. Notre Dame's offensive line against Pitt's defensive front, good against good. Time of possession, 41 minutes. I mean, that's almost shameful if you're Pittsburgh. You couldn't get off the field. Notre Dame owned it. 41 minutes against Pitt's defensive front. That's called keep away, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's a big number.
It's a huge number. I mean, just a huge number. What about the defense of the Irish? We've been talking about the complete game on all three sides, right?
Yep. Well, Pitt can't run, and Yellen can't throw it like Pickett, and you're down by 100. So that's a bad combination of where we're going to get yards. But Notre Dame's defense, I just mentioned it with Andrew Adelson. We've been talking about this offense from Notre Dame, that offensive line in the backs. This defense has been consistently good every single week. I mean, you just saw Louisville light up Florida State. Louisville scored 7 on the Irish the week before. Pitt with a 3-spot this week. Notre Dame's defense is the real deal. Now, granted, you could talk about the quality of opposition all you want. You play who's on the schedule. Notre Dame defensively has swallowed whole. They've been outstanding.
Been waiting all year for Boston College to start running the rock. Saturday, the Eagles delivered against Georgia Tech. It started, why not? Phil Jurkovec, take off. I'm going to have almost 100 yards of rushing.
Love seeing 2-6 with
David
Baldwin.
Bennett was there too.
No, he's a grown man now. 2-6 is a grown man. And you'll see a bunch of people say, I'm not in the mood to tackle this guy. But Boston College has been a pleasant surprise. You just heard Andrew Adelson said Jeff Hafley's the halfway point coach of the year in the ACC. And Mr. Hafley and the boys will get a chance to go to Death Valley this weekend for a noon kick against number one Clemson.
Yep. And BC gives Dabo Swinney and his staff a lot to think about after being able to run the ball like that on Saturday, because that offensive line, we talked about those guys going into the year with Tyler Vrabel and Zion Johnson and guys like that. They've changed their playing personality entirely on offense and then sent a subtle message to everybody else. Oh, by the way, we can still run the rock if we need to. So that was part of our best of the weekend. Two individual performances. Pac mentioned this earlier. Mike Harley has kind of been, I remember Mike Harley. He's on Miami, makes some plays. Well, he made a lot of them Saturday night. 10 catches, 170 yards, and the game's first score.
He was terrific. Again, he's wide open here for the touch. We could have put him on wide receiver U, but we decided to put him in this department because it was just the entire overall game. He was so good. Made tough catches, made great runs after the catch. He's been terrific all season long. So Mike Harley deserves some love today. He was really, really good.
Not only was Miami very good there, so was Louisville Saturday. Cardinals' convincing win against Florida State kind of brings them back into the mix, if you will. And a lot of it had to do with Javian Hawkins. 174 yards on the ground, three scores. He had one of those reroute runs where he takes it, and then we do this right here, and we come back, and we're so fast that nobody else can catch us on the angle. They look like they have the angle, and in truth, they don't. And I can look up at the scoreboard and just soft trot on in. So, Javian Hawkins, three scores, 174 yards. Hokies visit Cardinal Stadium on Saturday afternoon. By the way, same ball game. Pac, don't know if you saw this, opening score of the afternoon in the high noon game with the Ville and Florida State. Jordan Travis kind of dribbled it and ended up finding a way to get in the end zone, I think. This is an amazing play, by the way.
He did dribble it. No,
this could have been a disaster.
He did dribble it. He did dribble it into the end zone. This was some serious ball skills. You keep hearing that term, ball skills. Wait till you see what Jordan Travis did. Because you had to do a double take when you see this the first time. You're like, wait a minute, what did he just do? That angle may not be the perfecto one.
He just dribbled it.
But he literally goes right hand, left hand. He looks like Charlie Ward out there, man. Watch this. Doop-doop-doop.
There it is.
Pay attention. That was a great run, too.
He pushes it back. The ball bounces. Here it is. Watch the right hand. Watch his right hand. Oh, I dribbled it. There we go. He pushed it with the right hand, picked it up with the left hand.
It was subtle. But when I saw it, I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What was that again? And then the move for the touchdown, his run was fantastic. And you're thinking, all right, Florida State's in business, man. They got some momentum for that North Carolina game. And then afterwards, Louisville said, rear view mirror. And I wouldn't say they're still in the mix, talking about Louisville, but I'll tell you what they are. They're dangerous. Yeah. And if they don't turn the ball over like they did against Notre Dame, and they could give you that explosion because they've got dudes who can do it. Hawkins was great. Cunningham was solid. We know about Tutu and Dez and all those guys. If they're still on your schedule and they play a clean game, they can give you a headache.
Javonte Williams of North Carolina makes the list. No surprise. He was part of the best of the weekend. Tar Heel running back, he and Michael Carter, both sensational. But Williams, 160 yards, 19 carries, and three scores. And you see he is second in FBS now with 10 rushing touchdowns.
That's 1-2 combo is outstanding for North Carolina. Really good.
Yep. So Carolina easy win against North Carolina State. So Javonte Williams, the best of the weekend. A couple of others here real quick before we get to break. Nick Jackson, one of the best tacklers in the Atlantic Coast Conference this year, young man from Atlanta. 16 times he rings the bell in the tackle chart on Saturday. Three games of a dozen or more. This guy is just everywhere for Bronco Mendenhall's defense.
So, well, I mentioned to you, I thought Virginia really tackled well Saturday. I did not say that the game you did in Winston-Salem, but I thought their tackling was spot on. And you have to tackle well against Miami, because if you don't, those dudes are gone. 19-14, kind of an old school throwback game.
Absolutely. And final best of the weekend, Mark. Weather conditions changed on Saturday night at Hard Rock. The coveted invite went old school.
Yep.
Low cut Chuck Taylors.
Love it. Love it. I'm wondering, Wes, when we have coveted invite on later this week, if she wasn't thinking of us and said, for those old guys back in Cartersville and in the basement, man, I might just go old school for those old dudes on TV. Right? That was a good look for
Katie.
That's right. I liked it.
That's it. All right. So that's the best of the weekend. Sit tight. When we come back, the Monday Roll continues, and we will examine the other end of the proverbial spectrum, if you will. Oh, got to hold on to the ball, fellas. Got to hold on to the ball. We will tackle all of that, so to speak, when we come back on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Best of, worst of. We gave you a laundry list of the best. Now we go the other way. Fake left, go right. Worst of the weekend, Wes. I mentioned this earlier to you. I thought there were some flat spots in terms of performances this weekend. And Pitt, Florida State, NC State. I mean, those were three teams that I thought going into the weekend, competitive games, should be interesting to see where it goes. All three of them combined outscored by 101 points. Ooh. Didn't expect that at all.
Ooh. Wow. That is a lie. I wish you hadn't shown it to me like that, Mark. It all feel better. Feel worse.
Well, I mentioned it earlier in the show. And again, I don't want you to have to do math real quick, but that would be Woodshed, Woodshed, and Woodshed. Those three.
Wow. Well, and combine that with another worse, you had two ranked teams that took bad losses, right? You mentioned NC State, who was in the top 25. Now you lose to North Carolina, who's ahead of you in the polls. But if you're Virginia Tech, you took a bad loss now. That's a team that was starting to show some stuff. And we had two ranked teams of the five in the top 25, had some real issues in terms of what they were going through, right? And you had some bad losses.
Well, we'll have Dave Clawson on the show tomorrow, and if he's wearing the Commonwealth of Virginia crown, you'll understand why, because he just got done disposing of Virginia, a game that you called, Wes. Yeah. And then, hey, hokey, hokey, hokey high, Wake Forest goes 2-0 against the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Yeah. So congratulations on to the Deacs on at least being able to win that one, right? And we'll see how the rest of it plays out. North Carolina has a chance at the state championship, if you will. Tar Heels are the only ones that can claim the state championship in the Tobacco Road area this year. Travis Etienne's Frosted Flakes. That's the worst of the weekend. Got to maybe add some eggs in there, get some other additional proteins involved, Pack.
Well, I'm just take it from the man himself. He said he cramped up a little bit, had to get an IV, left the game for a while, and he said early kick, it was about 80 degrees. It was a warm day, as you know, in the valley, and cramped up. So he just grabbed some Frosted Flakes in the morning, which I believe is the official cereal of Clemson, should be at least.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Frosted Flakes.
I love the brand marketing.
Yeah, I mean, I assume so. But he said, hey, maybe next time I go for some eggs, some sausage, and have a Pac-Man breakfast, which I highly suggest. Throw some pancakes and some French toast on there while you're in the mood, and some bacon, and you'll be good to go. But, yeah, I mean, Clemson's operating at such a ridiculous level that, like I said earlier, I had two guys send me emails that were disappointed that the turf didn't look as green as it should. And now we're talking about Travis Etienne's cereal choice in the morning and cramping up. I mean, that's when you know you have elite team problems, when you are reaching for stuff like this.
Yeah. Amazing. Average margin this week in the ACC, also not a good thing, 22.7 points.
Yeah.
You mentioned the three at 101. Oh.
Well, we had two games of note. We just mentioned Wake Forest knocking off Virginia Tech in a single-digit game. Miami held off Virginia in a single-digit game. But the other five, Wes, man alive, there were some ugly numbers here.
Yeah.
Some ugly numbers. So,
yep.
And they all can't be great, great, super great games. I get it. But I just thought we'd have a little bit more competitive nature breakdown of ACC games over the weekend. We just didn't quite get that.
No. And we'll follow up on I got a note from our friend David Teal last week. From 2015 to 2019, ACC football home field advantage was negligible, he said. It was right around 54%, right? Well, halfway through this season, with limited or no fans, home teams are now 27-11. That's a 71% win rate. And they were 6-1 on Saturday. So think about that. You take the fans away and the home team's dominance has actually increased, which you wonder, you know, kind of how that works. Now, we haven't gone back to home field versus winning and losing marks and that kind of thing. There's all sorts of little analytics you can build in that, but it's interesting that the home field winning rate is 71% right now in ACC football. So keep that in mind too. The other note, this has also become a thing this particular season. Turnovers. Five teams turned the ball over Saturday three or more times, Mark.
Like I said, when you get games that were not necessarily competitive, normally this is part of the problem. How about this play? It should have been a touch. Turns out to be a pick. Kind of the typical of NC State's day, the way that deal worked out. But there was some sloppy football Saturday, unfortunately, and it led to some lopsided games. And hopefully that improves this week, Wes. At least I hope so.
Yeah. Maybe a little more deeper dive on some of this too, as the season has progressed. We've talked about how the defense might be having to play catch up a little bit to the offensive side of the ball. Some defenses that really struggled, the ones that shine, maybe a particular Saturday or through the year, obviously are teams that are going to be more successful. That goes without saying. But the turnover combination with that lack of defense sometimes can spell doom for a team on a particular Saturday as well. We will take a break, come back for the final segment of this Monday show. Remind you that tonight on All ACC, a campaign-themed edition of All ACC, Jordan Cornette, Dallin Cuff, Mark Herzlich will start stumping as to who is the second-best team in the ACC. Jay Vidovich, the Pitt soccer coach, will join them as well on the men's side as the Panthers are number one for the first time in program history. All ACC tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern time, right here on ACC Network and always streaming on that ESPN app. When we come back, we will get the nominations down to the finalist for wide receiver U. We got to pick four of these, huh? All right, we'll get the finalists put together for your vote online at ACC Network later today for tomorrow's winner of wide receiver U. We're back after this on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, we close out a Monday edition of show number 245. Accounting's going to be interesting tomorrow. I sense we'll have some friction on accounting tomorrow.
You think so?
Yeah. I think 5 through 8 and 11 through 15 – and 16 is going to be tough, too. I'm just telling you, 16, there's a lot of chances there. But I think 5 through 8 and 11 through 15 are difficult. I can see a lot of friction.
Let me look at 5 through 8 here. I think we're going to have the same four teams, just in a different order. How's that?
No. Listen to me, Wes. I think we're all going to have the same four at the 1 through 4. I think we're all going to have the same 4, 5 through 8. I think we're going to all have the same 5, 11 through 15. The order is going to be the friction.
Right. I'm with you on that. I got you. Do you agree with EMAC and Boston College?
No, I do not.
Do you agree with Andrea and Wake Forest?
No, I do not.
Ooh. Okay.
But I do agree with Andrea with Jeff Hafley at the halfway point being the ACC Coach of the Year. Totally agree with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question. No doubt the two losses are to a very, very good Virginia Tech team and a very good North Carolina team, right? I mean, the two losses are, quote, quality losses. Wouldn't you agree?
Yep. We'll get into
no matter how – and look – They haven't turned the they turned the ball over too many times in Blacksburg. They push Carolina to make plays, and those are their two games they've given back. I mean, I understand Brian Kelly is undefeated. Notre Dame has developed as a football team through the course of the year, but Jeff Hafley was a first-year coach with an unknown on defense, and he changed the playing personality on the offensive side of the ball. It's not. I mean, that is clearly a great coaching job. Brian Kelly's been there long enough and been to the, you know, CFP and the BCS and all those other things. What Jeff Hafley's done with a computer and a willingness and an attitude is phenomenal. Nothing. It's just short of phenomenal when you think about it, Pack, at 4-2.
Well, we look forward to having him on the show later this week as they get ready to go down to the Valley. And, of course, Halfley should know Clemson because, remember, he was at Ohio State at the Fiesta Bowl. So he'll watch tape and go, oh, yeah, I remember these guys. So we'll get into all that stuff, though, with Coach coming up later this week.
Yeah. There are some things about that game last year in the Fiesta Bowl that Tony Elliott and Dabo Swinney and those guys remember, and there are things about that game that Jeff Halfley remembers. And I know the personnel's different, but you're going to see some chess pieces being moved around Saturday at noon on ABC for sure with Boston College and Clemson. All right, let's get to the final four of wide receiver U, and voting is now available on Twitter at ACC Network, okay? So here are the four finalists. Let's roll the video. Ben Skowronek, who will be a guest on this show later in the week. Ben Skowronek, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the finals of wide receiver U. Yep. And score. Yep. Nicely done. Good ball from Ian Book, too, Pack.
Perfect. High that point. Size, move stood on. Up high, man. He'll go get it.
Yep. Look at it. Oh, upper deck shot from the end zone. There we go. Thank you. Oh, we want – no. We move it. Let's go. Let's get down the field and play defense. All right. Next up. Welcome back to the finals of wide receiver U, Emeka Emezi of NC State. Can't keep the guy off the list, can we?
Guy's a player. Great talent. And I mentioned to you earlier, he makes two or three of these a game. I mean, we could be it could be like the Emeka show, for crying out loud. But it seems like every week he's nominated, and you're like, well, which one of these are we going to pick? Not a whole lot of highlights for the red and white Saturday from Chapel Hill, but this was one of them.
All right, so two down, two to go. Welcome to the finals of wide receiver U for Miami's Mark Pope, guy who has kind of bided his time, and De'Eriq King put it on him Saturday. Look at this catch.
Man, that's a great catch. Every time I see it, I say it.
Ruled incomplete and under review, overturned.
Catch, man. Not only is it a catch, it's a nomination. It's a Final Four.
Yeah, it is. It might be a winner. Same ball game for the fourth and finalist. Let's go to the end zone. Tony Poljan makes another appearance on the Final Four of wide receiver U. Brennan Armstrong threw it up there, and only 6'7" guys eligible to catch that one. And Bubba Bolden, by the way, is having an all-ACC season. It's safety for the Canes. And that's a rebound drill right there. And got the foot down, the big fella. Nice play. Nice play. So there you have it. All right. So we started the show this morning by asking you, who's fifth in the ACC? Tomorrow, Pack and I will reveal who we think is fifth. But really, that's the question now. Of those second four, Mark, who are the challengers to the front four? Because the front four, Clemson, Notre Dame, North Carolina, Miami, some order. And we get the Tigers and the Irish in 2 weeks at South Bend. We get the Canes and the Tar Heels before the season's over as well.
You're also going to get Notre Dame at North Carolina. I mean, no need to look down the schedule. You got to go take care of this week. And if you don't believe me, just look at how many teams lost this week in the infamous AP Top 25. One right here in the ACC with Virginia Tech was ranked 19th until they went to Switzerland and lost the Deacs. Man, if you don't take care of business, you drop. Simple as that. Man, it's really that easy. What? So if you're one of the big four right now in the ACC, you got four teams ranked in the top 15, you got to go take care of business. If you're North Carolina, you don't worry about Notre Dame and Miami later on. You better worry about going to Charlottesville. If you're Clemson, hey, you can't take a sneak peek at Notre Dame next week because you got red-hot Boston College coming to town. As I said, Jeff Halfley remembers you from Ohio State lore from the Fiesta Bowl. And if you're Notre Dame, as complete an effort as I've seen from them in a long time going on the road to Pittsburgh, now you got to go to Georgia Tech. And the Jackets have proven that if they don't turn the ball over, they got enough offensive weapons to give you a headache. So Notre Dame's defense has been consistently good. So all those teams at the top, hey, you go take care of your business this week, and that's how you work it. But that next group, Wake Forest, NC State, Boston College, Virginia Tech. I think that's the next collection of 5 through 8. And when you do accounting, you can go figure it out yourself. Are they eliminated from the ACC race? No, but they're going to have to win out and hopefully get some luck. That's kind of how you have to look at it from this point forward.
Yeah. Going to be an interesting dynamic in the ACC. Big show tomorrow, by the way, Tuesdays, and that means the Blue Ostrich, Tom Luganville, will be here for his half hour, of course. Wake Forest head coach Dave Clawson will be a part of this show on Tuesday, as will Ben Skoranek of Notre Dame. Very handy, don't you think? You're a finalist for wide receiver U, and now you're a guest on Packer and Durham.
So that works. Stardom. Total stardom.
Yeah. And maybe we'll talk to Dave Clawson about Wake Forest being Switzerland.
You know, I tell you what I'm going to do. I need to go search through my, rummage through my collection and see if I can't find the Wake Forest Swiss flag that I told you.
No.
A guy made for the Southern Fried Football Tour, made a Swiss flag out of black and gold. And we used to fly. It flew on every Southern Fried Football Tour stop. And people would see that cross up there, and they go, oh, what is that black and gold? I said, that's the Swiss, man. That's in honor of Wake Forest. Demon Deeks, the Swiss. Again, everybody, for folks that don't know, the reason for that was everybody likes Wake. I think Wake Forest is the only team in the league that doesn't have an enemy. I don't think they have one. Now, the folks in the Commonwealth aren't real thrilled because they just got done beating Virginia Tech and Virginia this year in football. But I don't think Wake has any team in the league that looks upon them and frowns down at Wake. I don't think that exists. They're the only one. Hence the Swiss.
Oh, man. Thanks to Eric McClain and Andrew Adelson for being on the show today. We're off and running this week, and it's great to have you with us on Packer and Durham. Don't forget All ACC tonight with Jordan Cornett, Dallin Cuff, and Mark Erslick. 8 o'clock Eastern time right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. Thanks to Drew and Josh, Lauren, great show. Thanks to everybody on the back row, all the folks in the bunkers, the Swiss. We'll see you tomorrow with a big Tuesday edition of Packer and Durham on ACC Network. Stay safe.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.